You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You found the Taxi Stand Hour.
Over.
On Radio TFI.
And man, are we happy. The witch is indeed dead. Well, not dead, just taking taxis nowadays, as a matter of fact. Hey, hi there. Welcome to another Saturday edition of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI, home of information and mind-blowing classic rock and roll movie clips, just about anything else you can imagine you want to hear to bring you back down memory lane. I spent some time yesterday listening, actually, to the app, which you can download now on both the Android and the Apple platform. What am I doing here talking without even bringing in Ed? What a waste, I'm telling you. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, John. You were doing fine. Keep going.
Oh, no, I was just sitting there listening to Radio TFI and was just listening to some of that stuff that's an old vintage Noxzema commercial, for Christ's sake.
How about that? And I just finished uploading more songs the other day. I put the rest of my library up there, and I've had this collection of old commercials and old TV themes, and it's just a good way to fill time. Where do you see what's coming next?
I can't wait.
It'll be very interesting, and I plan to have that up next week when, hey, guess what? Somebody's taking a vacation next week.
Is somebody taking a vacation next week?
Yes, it's you.
I didn't know who that was.
Well, let's take care of that little piece of housekeeping. We'll be live Monday. I'll be live Monday night with my special guest, Mike King. You guys are going to love this guy. I tell you what, he's funny. He's opinionated. You're going to love him. And then we'll be off next Saturday, and we'll be off the following Monday. We're going to broadcast today, Monday, and then we won't be back till after July 4th. July 8th will be the next time we're live. So please mark your calendars, make a note on your wall, write it backwards on your forehead so you can read it in the mirror.
And don't fret, we are going to be we're going to be having encore versions of the show, and you'll have plenty of John and Ed here to listen to and cuss at or whatever else you want to do when you're listening. So,
and for all you folks out there listening now, feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you, be a part of the conversation. So,
what is that number again?
Oh, that number is 720-820-1203. 720-820-1203.
And if you try to call during one of the pre-recorded shows,
you'll get a pre-recorded answer.
Yeah, you need help. Because we do tell you ahead of time this is a pre-recorded show. Don't we?
What a voice that guy has. Oh, my God. You found an encore performance of the Taxi Stand Hour. God, what a voice. I love that guy.
I know. Isn't he great?
What a shame. What a crying shame. Nothing happened this week to talk about. Nothing.
Oh, my God. What are we going to do? Are we going to sit here and talk about the weather for the entire
time? I think just dead silence. I think that's where we stand right now
because
there was no big news.
The listening public could probably appreciate that.
Well, go ahead. Who was right?
Well,
who was right? Who called this one?
Don't break yourself. Don't break your arm. Pat yourself on the back.
Yes. I think you saw it. Somebody's sent a message to Lyft people. You know, don't hurt yourself gloating over Uber. But then somebody else added on to it, but cab drivers, you go ahead and have a good old time.
Exactly. Oh.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you have not heard, Travis Kalanick.
You've been living under a rock.
Resigned from Uber this week. And nobody was happier about it than this guy. And I'm pointing two thumbs at myself right now. It was inevitable. This is a sinking ship. They did him a favor by forcing him to resign. I mean, he's still going to have to deal with all the lawsuits and all the fallout, but at least he doesn't have to show up every day.
Crawl away from that.
No. Google is still sitting in the corner waiting to take their shot. That's the fight. That's the one you want to see. Because this is going to be Muhammad Ali in his prime going up against a invalid in a wheelchair, somebody who's on the GOP health care plan. That's what this is going to be. It's not even going to be a fit.
It's going to look like when Larry Holmes fought Muhammad Ali late in his career, actually.
Chuck Wepner, the Bayonne Bleeder.
Chuck Wepner.
I met him one time. Very big man. Oh, yeah. He beat the living daylights out of any regular person, but he was a nice enough fellow. We got drunk together.
Didn't he... Chuck Wepner, he actually in that, I shouldn't be asking you because you're not a big wrestling fan, but the undercard from the whole Ali Inoki fight, boxer versus wrestler, Chuck Wepner got his ass handed to him by Andre the Giant.
Well, anybody got their ass handed to them by Andre the Giant. I mean, I'm not surprised about that. Look, Wepner also was looking for a payday. He hit the lottery when Ali decided he wanted to fight him. Mm-hmm. Wepner would never have a fight that big again in his life, and he knew it. And he beat Ali.
Yeah.
He beat him. But then Ali was getting older, and I mean, look, and Wepner wasn't that bad. He was a fighter. He wasn't a boxer. Ali was a boxer. And if you understand that sport, you understand the difference. I made a conscious effort, and I gave up on that sport many years ago because it just got to be too when Marvin Hagler lost the championship to Sugar Ray Leonard, who basically protected that pretty face of his for 15 rounds. Hagler clearly won at least 11 of those rounds. I mean, he pummeled Leonard, and they gave the decision to Leonard. And that was it for me. He was the reigning champ. No, that's what it was. Leonard was the reigning champ. But he was also the pretty boy of the sport. And that was it for me. I just gave up boxing after that. And I just couldn't. I mean, I know that it was never the most scrupulous sport. But, I mean, that was so blatant. I was no Marvin Hagler fan, but, you know, he got screwed. And he knows it. I watched him in an interview a couple of years ago. He still mentions it, and he should. But I digress.
Well, the thing about boxing and MMA and all those other type sports, if you will, with all the outcry about concussions in sports, I don't understand why boxing and MMA, UFC, whatever, is still considered mainstream.
There's a little.
I mean, that's the goal in that sport is to concuss somebody.
Well, I think that's a little. I think that's a little. Well,
no. Hmm. You aim for the knockout.
Yes, but you can knock somebody out without concussing them.
Can you?
Sure. Come on by and I'll show you.
Really?
You can't lay out something like that and not expect me to take the bait.
Of course. So, back on the whole Uber front.
Ding dong,
the
witch is dead. Witch, oh witch, the wicked witch. Ding dong, the witch. I was so proud of myself.
Well, you know, you should be. But also another one of the board of directors also left, a guy by the name Bill Gurley.
Yes, yes, yes.
So
it's rats
the pyramid is crumbling.
Oh, no question. While last week I said it was Isaac the bartender running the boat, now it's Vicky, the captain's daughter.
Yeah, there you go.
And pretty soon we'll be down to Ace the photographer, an actual character on the Love Boat, by the way.
Yes.
Ted McGinley, the series killer. It's a long story.
I get a feeling you're a fan of the Love Boat.
I just remember I have a head full of old, inane trivia.
Oh.
Yeah. It's believe me, you don't
find some audio from the old show Beretta and you'll make me happy.
I have the theme music playing.
Beautiful.
It's
Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So do you believe that picture that you saw? I tweeted it out.
The one with Travis in a taxi?
Yeah.
Does
that look Photoshopped to you?
I believe that is not a current photo. I know that's not a current photo.
Oh, okay.
I've seen that before. Somebody dug it up, and I forget what the context was that the photo was taken in. But
I just got to thinking when I asked that, what cabbie that's worth his salt would even haul the son of a bitch?
Well, keep in mind, you got a lot of drivers out there haven't got the first clue what's going on.
Well, this is true.
Wouldn't know Travis Kalanick from a hole in the wall. Even if you put a sign on the hole in the wall.
Oh,
but
man.
I don't believe that's a current picture. I think he learned his lesson the night of the Super Bowl. Well, he learned that lesson after that video came out.
Mm-hmm.
When he got into it with the driver. I am confident he has a private driver, so to speak, to coin a phrase. Mm. Unless, or he has his $200,000 sports car, which, you know, whichever one it is, he is not going to expose himself. He is not the beloved head of the company. He's not
definitely not beloved.
He is not the guy who has been running the local factory, family run, for 50 years, who has helped pay hospital bills and, you know, and given college scholarships to his workers' kids and all that. He's not that guy, okay? Yeah. He does not walk down the street and get pats on the back.
So I away in the world of Uber again.
Mm-hmm.
They're now going to be allowing tips.
Well, that's sort of a misstatement.
Okay.
They're not allowing because, well, let's go back to the very beginning. Travis, and you can see how this is all connected. Travis didn't like the idea of tipping. He always claimed, well, we want it to be a seamless experience. Well, Lyft proved that you can do that. Just, you know, putting a tipping option on the app was easy. A technology company couldn't do that? Shocking. So that had been in there the whole time. I mean, that'd been simmering in the background. People tip, but they also keep in mind, Uber also for the beginning years told people the tip was included. Lied boldly about that. Got huge fines over it. That has been part of the Uber culture now for quite some time. And I hear it from people, and I give it 50-50. 50% I believe they don't know what they're talking about. The other half, they're lying when they say, oh, I'll tip you in the app. Well, Uber had no tipping. You know, they're just cheap, or they just weren't aware. So so now it's very – this is all part and parcel to appease the drivers and the public. You notice this all came out right after he resigned. They're making all sorts of promises. I got an email the other day. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. At no point have they talked about raising the rates for the drivers. And until they – I read an article the other day. I wish I had linked to it where somebody laid out what Uber has to do. And one of the things they said was get rid of the flying cars and the, you know, and the self-driving cars. And start focusing on here, home-based U.S. stuff. Forget about the rest of the world. Start making your drivers here happy, your drivers and your customers. for this company to continue and to succeed at all, because they lose 50% of their drivers every year. They are going to run out. And as soon as, whenever there's a viable option, people are going to run to it. They will run to it. And, you know, Lyft is just waiting for this to implode.
Do you think that Lyft could actually handle the workload if Uber went bye-bye?
Sure.
Think so?
Why not? As soon as work got out, keep in mind, many drivers work both platforms now, so it's not like you have to do a big onboarding thing. Lyft actually, there's a couple of billboards, well, at least one that I'm aware of, down by Miami International Airport. Lyft actually advertises for riders, whereas Uber only ever advertises for drivers.
Yeah.
And therein lies the difference. I mean, if you don't have people riding in the cars, then nobody's making any money. Uber's got a long way to go. They've got to undo everything that this clown did. He was a PR nightmare. And unless they get a CEO in there who can turn this culture around, and it really is a culture thing, because the inner workings of Uber are just toxic. It is just, from everything I'm reading, everything I'm understanding, it is riddled with cancer. It's like going into a home that's, you know, where all the wood is rotted. You have to basically tear everything out and start fresh. And that's where Uber stands right now. They are about to squander one of the best brand recognition names ever. No matter what you think of Uber, they become a part of the vocabulary.
Oh.
People use it as a noun, as a verb. You know, let's grab an Uber. We Ubered over here. That is priceless. You cannot squander that. And you can't have a short-sighted, spoiled frat boy. And I will say it again. The fact that his mother passed away recently is a sad, tragic coincidence that plays very little into what is occurring right now. This was coming anyway. I actually believe it probably might have happened a few weeks ago had his mother not passed. I think they might have just held off and said, let's give him a couple of weeks to, you know, that's a serious thing. I would never begrudge anybody grieving over their mother.
No.
But I do believe it was coming. That occurred, and, you know, cooler heads prevailed and said, let's sit back and wait, you know, and let this, that's not the reason. They're not giving him time to, you know, recoup after the tragic passing of his mother. Many, many people lose loved ones every day, and they're back to work in 3 days. We don't want to, but we do it. We don't need a month, a year, or two, you know, 2 years sitting in my billion-dollar home. I miss my mommy. I do miss my mommy, but that's another story for another time.
Right.
So anyway, by the way, if she's listening, and I don't know that she is, but young Barbara Ann Donnellan, the original bad girl, I hope you're feeling better, my dear. Hopefully we'll get to chat at some point. I'm going to call my sister tonight and check on and see how you're doing. I know it's been a long time since we spoke, but I truly hope things are turning around for you. And by the way, you have that damn pizza.
Okay.
Yes, that was a personal message.
The personal intercom is now open. Well, now it's closed, but
look, you love my intercom, don't you?
I do.
And by the way, folks, John, we did not mention, where are we? Where are you today?
Where am I today? I am in beautiful, temperate St. Paul, Minnesota.
And I am in hot and steamy Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Yeah, it is beautiful here. I mean, unless you just like to bake, this is a beautiful day out here. Nice breeze. Temperature probably in the upper 60s, close to 70.
Mm.
Bright, beautiful sunshine.
Mm, what I wouldn't give for that. I'm looking at 3.5 months of misery.
Oh.
And that's just the weather. Have I ever explained to you our summers here in South Florida?
I remember I lived in Central Florida.
Well, it's kind of the same, but here is summer in South Florida, July, August, September, a tad into October. Here's the daily forecast. Daytime high of 93, overnight low of 80. Yes, he did say 80.
Mm-hmm.
50% chance of rain and 1,000,000,000% humidity. Yes, we are fish. We breathe water. And unlike other parts of the country where there's variations during the summer, you get a heat wave, it cools off, you get a heat wave, it cools off. We are solid, flatlined, same day, July 5th, August 12th, September 23rd, all the same day. Can't wait for that first little bit of dry air in October to show up. And you're going to laugh at this, but when I was sick four years ago, you have no idea. I was so glad my coma happened in the middle of August.
Oh.
So I feel like I didn't miss anything.
Yeah, well, there you go. Put yourself in like a cryo facility or something like that for those 3 months. And then literally just put you on ice.
Oh, man, it sounds good to me. So getting back to the Uber thing there, and the email came out, they've got this 180 days of change. This is what they're promoting now for the drivers. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be starting to make some steps in the right direction, but it is being met with massive, humongous amounts of skepticism because Uber's track record, especially as it concerns the drivers, is horrific. It's horrible. Drivers are treated like the commodity they are. Worth very little, and we can replace you in a heartbeat.
So, well, that's what they think they can do with self-driving cars.
Right. Well, that's they're coming to learn the difference on that, especially when...
And people, they're starting to realize that self-driving cars are 20 years in our future. I know that everybody's talking about it, but people that actually know about this stuff say we're still... at least 20 years away from this technology.
Easily. While the technology may exist right now, you've got the regulatory and the liability issues to contend with. You cannot just unleash these cars on the road right now.
No.
We've talked about this before. I see in maybe 5 years a dedicated lane on highways where self-driving cars only... But there's still somebody behind the wheel. Driver assisted, I should say. That's what they're actually called. Driver assisted vehicles.
Yeah.
Because you're going one direction, the variables are few and far between. Getting onto a city street with traffic coming from four directions, people coming from God only knows how many directions, birds flying out of the sky, branches falling, there's way too many variables right now. Can it be done? Absolutely. There's no question. I believe it can be done. Will I see it? No.
No, I was going to say, you and I aren't going to see
it. No. Again,
it's nice that they're having little features now,
yes,
such as parking assistance, and you can now turn, if you have a trailer, you can turn a dial or something like that, and you can back the trailer. So there are things that are nice for assisting drivers, but to be able to sit back and read the latest edition of the New York Times while your self-driving car is driving you to your destination.
Or close your eyes and listen to the latest podcast of the Taxi Stand Hour.
Of course. Or just listen to Radio TFI in general.
There you go. Now you're talking. See, now I'm all for self-driving cars. now I see it. It's all falling apart into place.
Well, and the thing is, there's another factor in the whole thing with Uber and Lyft that I don't know that we'll ever, until we get self-driving cars, we're ever going to eliminate. And that's the perverts they seem to have sign up for their platform. I'm looking at a story now where a driver that was driving on both platforms offered a minor money and rides for sex. Did you see that story?
I saw the headline. I didn't actually read the story. I I saw all I need.
Well, I'll try to
Yeah.
give it to you here. Now I'm going to take, because of the problems we were talking about earlier, I'm going to take one of my headphones off. So bear with me here. An Allentown man, and I'm assuming this is Pennsylvania, who said he drives for Uber and Lyft, is accused of arranging sex in exchange for money and transportation with a girl under the age of 18. Hellertown police said they stopped 43-year-old Francisco Aries in the early morning of January 12th in the 1000 block of 2nd Avenue in the borough, where he told officers he was picking up the juvenile girl. Police said they received an anonymous call 6 days prior, in which the tipster said the girl was exchanging sex for money. Police did not list the girl's age. So what do you want to bet? 15? 16? Does it matter?
No, it doesn't. Well, you know, in the words of Brigham Young, if you're going to bring them young.
Yeah.
I got a call yesterday, an Uber call for XL, and I saw the address, and it was a high school, and I thought, it's the end of June. The kids can't be there. Maybe it's a teacher, a couple of teachers going somewhere. So I drove over there. Lo and behold, it's one young guy and his harem of five little girls, teenagers all. And I asked Jack. Was Jack his name? Dennis, Brandon, who the hell knows? I said, are you 18? He says, yes, I am. Fabulous. Can you show me some ID? And in one of the greatest pieces of logic ever, he says, well, I left at home. That's why I'm taking an Uber.
Okay.
Okay. Have a nice day. Feel free to cancel. Oh, well, I'm going to cancel. I don't, you know. But the kids are out there. The drivers are taking them. The parents are allowing it to happen. You're going to hear these stories more and more and more, because parents are willing to take the risk. Well, he looked like a nice guy. Yeah. Well, there you go. Ted Bundy looked like a nice guy.
Yeah.
What a handsome little devil that one was. You know, but, you know, that's what they want. That's what they want. We're going to give it to them.
Well, you know, I transport students all the time, but then again, I have the background checks, the fingerprinting.
Mm-hmm.
And I have training in how to deal with situations that come up with adolescents. Because a lot of them, the kids that I haul, have issues, either home life issues, homelessness.
Right.
Maybe they're autistic. And, you know, I have training in dealing with that kind of stuff. Your average Uber or Lyft driver doesn't have that type of training, doesn't know how to deal with that, doesn't know how to deal with a situation if the kid starts taking off their clothes in the back seat.
If they're in London, they don't know how to handle the physics of the car, apparently.
You know, I got to cut them a little slack in that, but what I've seen...
Why, because they drive on the wrong side of the road?
London looks like a bitch of a town to try to navigate to begin with.
It is. Hence the whole reasoning for the knowledge.
Oh, exactly.
That's exactly why. So to pretend that you can get out there with your little GPS sat nav, but even if you're lost, how do you flip a car?
Well,
and how do you?
I say the only way you flip a car. Is if you're driving like an absolute idiot.
And how many photos have we seen out of London?
Oh, I know.
Cars on their side. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. By the way, any of you out there, if you want to know what we're talking about, follow basically any London cab driver on Twitter, and you will see these photos. And it is just, I mean, shocking the amount of cars. We're not just talking about Uber drivers going down the wrong way on a street or parking where they shouldn't, and that's rampant. But they literally are laying these things over on their sides and putting them on their roofs. And how they get into some of these predicaments is just mind-boggling. And, you know, I can't – the laws of physics apparently have been removed in London for what they call private hire cars.
Yeah, that is absolutely crazy. I don't understand. Of course, there's a difference between driving you and your friends or you and your coworkers or whatever and actually trying to make a living driving in a city like that.
It's a different beast. Just because you don't have anybody in your cab or in your Uber does not mean you're not working, does not mean you're not actively trying to find a ride. And that can take away from what you're doing. And if you just think, I still believe a lot of the problems fall back to, oh, look at me, I'm a cab driver, I have a car, makes me a cab driver, period. You haven't spoken to anybody. There's no real training. There's no, you know, we talked about this a bit last week and, you know, how nowadays every cab company does some type of training to try to, you know, you can't be prepared for everything that's going to happen out there, but at least give you some of the basics. And 720-820-1203.
Yeah. Give us a call. If you're out there in TFI land listening.
Can I do my
radio TFI line?
Can I do my other rant now?
Oh, absolutely. Let's have it.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, he and he alone is orchestrating mass murder. He's going to try to ram this healthcare nonsense down our throats. He is not giving anybody an opportunity to read or amend, completely forgetting what he said about this 8 years ago when it was done to him. He didn't like it then. So now, let's put it this way. If you're a millionaire or a billionaire or own an insurance company, you're in great shape. This is going to work out just fine for you. If you're not, you're screwed. You are screwed. Everything I've heard, everything I've seen, all that Republicans are starting to run away from this. There's at least six now as of this morning who are unlikely to vote for it. Yesterday, none of the cable news shows could book a Republican senator. Zero. Zero Republican senators would go on the air to talk about this, which tells you how bad and toxic it is. But it goes back to Mitch McConnell. He and he alone and that spineless weenie, Paul Ryan, these two need to be removed. McConnell has his focus. He has his agenda. And it's screw America as far as he's concerned. Bear in mind, this is the guy who said 8 years ago, we're going to do everything we can to make sure Obama is a one-term president. We will impede him every step of the way. We will not let him pass anything, which to me translated to screw you, America. I don't care what it means for you, as long as my party wins. Mitch McConnell, go away. Thank you.
Well, and they're complaining because now Trump is facing, and he isn't facing near the backlash as Barack Obama did, and I'm not talking about Congress, obviously, because it's right now Congress is being controlled by the GOP. I'm just talking about the general public. You know, so we have a little bit of what's known as a resist movement on the left, but we're not dealing with near the fallout that President Obama dealt with, and by the way, handled with grace and dignity.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe he called anybody a name.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think he took a shot at anybody.
No.
I'll tell you what we need more of, John. We need more of your senator, Al Franken. Not only is he the funniest son of a bitch in the Senate, but he's one of the few that seems to have the cojones, along with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, to stand up to the Republicans. The rest of the Democratic Party, they're a bunch of scared weenies. You know, they will not attack back. You have to retaliate. If it's going to be party versus party, well, then let's have at it. Because clearly none of them are interested in the American public. It's all about, are you wearing the same color shirt as I am? What's good for my party, not my people? What's good for the people of the United States? Well, none of them really seem to care.
It is pretty disgusting. And I think that, to tell you the truth, people who don't know enough about politics, that's probably the reason why we're uttering the word, well, I'm not, but people are uttering President Trump. Because people knew that politics as we know it isn't working, but Trump definitely wasn't the answer.
Well, the problem is we have too much politics and not enough governing.
Yeah.
It's all about getting reelected. It's all about what's my standing in the party? It's not about, okay, we've got veterans over here that need help. We have pregnant women who the pregnancy is going to be a pre-existing condition. I don't really understand how that's going to happen, but there is no choice any longer but for us to become a single-payer nation.
Well, no.
There is absolutely no, we are the last civilized nation, and I'm using that word civilized in quotes.
Yeah, very loosely.
Very loosely. But, I mean, let's face it. People are stressing out over health care, over do I eat or do I get my prescriptions? How do I know that? Because I'm one of those people. I have to watch my meds. I got to cut my meds down because I don't always know if I can afford them. Again, my own situation. I ran up a $432,000 hospital bill four years ago with absolutely no way to pay for it. And fortunately, I still got great care and all that, but how many people are, and I had no after effects, so I really didn't have to be concerned about that. But there's plenty of people out there who, okay, they go into the hospital in the ER, and they get the care they need, but then it's after the fact, and they can't afford to have a day nurse come in to help them change clothes or, you know, any one of the gazillion things that we all take for granted that we're able to do. Some of our citizens need assistance, and it should not be based on their ability to pay, okay? Because while you look at the woman across the street that you don't know, you go, she'll figure it out. If it was your grandmother, you'd be doing backflips up and down the street saying somebody needs to help her.
Well, you know what's going to happen if this winds up actually going through.
I can't hear you.
Oh, hold on. Is that better?
Much better.
Sorry about that. Anyways, now what's... If this goes through, you're going to go back to pre-ACA, where you went to the hospital, you went to the emergency room,
right,
for primary health care.
Mm-hmm. That's where we're going.
And we went down this road before. It was a disaster.
Right. So... But it, you know, clearly it appears that, you know, as long as the insurance companies are making money, then it's going to be fine. You know, how do you expect what they're talking about? Insurance companies will be able to charge older Americans, which, by the way, that means you and me there, buddy boy.
Absolutely.
Up to five times what they could charge a healthy younger person. Now, will an older
people
person...
People on fixed incomes.
Right. You're going to about to raise their rates 800%. Where are they going to find that money? They're not.
I talk about death panels.
Exactly. Just start digging some big holes and have the folks line up. You know, and we'll all just walk into the mass graves together, arm in arm, and, you know, that'll be it. It's much cheaper than trying to take care of us. By the way, as another aside, which has been pointed out a gazillion times, but it always bears repeating, hey, Mitch McConnell, how's your health care plan?
Yeah, unfortunately, that old bastard will wind up living to 100.
Yeah, but, you know, Congress and the Senate, they get free health care for life.
Don't they get free health care after they get out of...
For life.
For life.
So this is not an issue for them. It doesn't affect them. It's like you and I making decisions on which way traffic patterns should go in Nairobi.
Mm-hmm.
It has no impact on us whatsoever. And that's where we are right now. There's not one doctor out there. There's not. And again, McConnell is taking the whole thing over on himself. The people on the bill writing team didn't know what was in the bill. McConnell went into a dark room with his feather pen and his inkwell and just started writing. And when asked, would there be time to, they might need more time, he says there'll be ample time to read and amend. And he's giving everybody 10 hours.
10 hours?
10 hours, yeah. He's going to ram this thing. It's not. Again, this morning, I believe it's up to 6 Republicans are shying away from this now. So it's pretty much, at the moment, it appears to be dead in the water.
Well, that's because even in red states, you are getting backlash from people who are used to the coverage and how good, despite its flaws, the ACA actually was.
Right. It was better than nothing.
Was it perfect? Absolutely not. But it sure as hell is a lot better than where we were and the abyss we're planning on going back into.
Right. And again, an old tired remark, but they've had 8 years. This is the best you could come up with?
Yeah.
They've been waiting for their moment. You would have think they would have had it ready.
Oh.
Let's pounce. Maybe a few, tidy it up a little bit, but I would have had this ready years ago. He's going to be gone someday. Someday we'll be in charge. Let's start writing it now. Instead, let's wait till, even after Trump was elected, that would have been the time to start writing it. But again, they've been screaming for 8 years. Obamacare is horrible. It's a crime. It has to go. And yet they had nothing in place.
It wasn't about changing health care. It was about discrediting Barack Obama. That's all it was.
Yes.
That was, they were trying to illegitimize him.
Right. Yeah, and it's hard to disagree with that.
Yeah, that's all this was about. So,
You got to wonder if Barack Obama was Barry O'Reilly, would we be going through the same thing right now?
No, we wouldn't.
It's sad, really. It's sad when you think about it, and it's frustrating to know that we've got a bunch of rich white men in Washington who don't give a flying rat's ass about anybody out here.
Yeah.
And how is it these knuckleheads in Kentucky keep electing this monster? And he is a monster. He clearly does not care about people. Oh, maybe the people around him, his kids and his grandkids and all that. I'm sure that's he takes care of them fine. But
well, he can afford to.
Sure, he can afford to. Sure, he can afford to. But the rest, I don't think he really cares about anybody out there. You can't be this inflexible and this hypocritical and be considered a human being. And his boss is the same way.
You're talking about Kentucky here.
Yes.
People in Kentucky have been voting against their own interests since the beginning of time. This is getting depressing.
You're right.
Why don't we get on to something a little bit less?
Oh, by the way, this one's for you. Just so you know, it's there.
Okay. So, you know what happened to me on Monday?
I have no earthly idea what happened to you on Monday.
Oh. And I got up on my soapbox a little bit, and it just goes to show, and yes, I'm having a case of poor me here.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to a convenience store up in suburban Minneapolis on Monday. And I always, between runs, I almost always stop in the bathroom just in case, just because I can, just so I don't have that urgency while I have a passenger in my car.
We've
I
take
just
we
make it a habit.
we've reached the age where we never pass up the opportunity to use the men's room.
You're right, absolutely. I go in this place and I head for the restroom, had my coffee cup with me because I was going to pick up a cup of coffee. And I go to the door, go to, and a security guard approaches me. I didn't think anything of it. She says, "The owner of this store does not allow cab drivers on the property."
What?
They do not allow cab drivers on the property. So she was nice enough to let me go to the bathroom,
Right.
but I couldn't fill that coffee cup. So in other words, they'd let me go ahead and fit. They were nice enough to let me go to the bathroom, but I couldn't buy a frickin' cup of coffee afterwards. This is in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, by the way. Anybody listening to this from this particular area? A little suburb about, 15 miles or so away from downtown Minneapolis. Now, I have a pretty good idea why they did this,
And why would that be?
and this smacks of discrimination. Twin Cities, like a lot of cities across this country's, across the country, excuse me, has a high volume of Muslim immigrants.
Okay.
In our case, they happen to be Somali.
Right.
And one of the things that, and I don't understand the practice, I don't pretend to, but one of the things they do before they pray is they wash their feet. The only place they can facilitate this is usually in a restroom. And it's sad that they have to resort to that.
Oh.
So
I see where this is going.
I think in its simplest form, they don't want to keep mopping up the bathroom floor.
That is exactly it.
But, okay. You're going to have to mop up the bathroom floor because half the damn people that use a men's room, unless there's a urinal in, there, piss on the floor anyways.
Well,
Which.
I have to imagine, I'm going to interrupt you here, John. I have to imagine it's gotten to a point, those kind of decisions don't get made, just off of one incident, or at least they don't stick. Nothing happens in a vacuum. I'm sure this was an ongoing thing, and to avoid truly discriminating, they said, no more taxi drivers. We don't care what they look like. They know who the problem is, but you've got to apply it across the board to everybody. Is it fair? Is it right? No, I don't think so. But then again, it's up to them whether or not who to serve and who not to
Is
permit in
it
their
though?
store. Yeah, it is actually. It actually is.
Do you have, as a cab driver, the right to control who gets in, gets inside or in or out of your cab
You
by
bet your
ordinance?
ass I do.
You can tell this black person that he can't get in your car if he's a ruly passenger.
If he's a ruley?
If he's not acting out.
Well, no, of course not. I would never, if you're not acting out, then I've got no reason to deny you service.
Look, things happen.
But wait. I get your point. To your point, though, if somebody walks up to my vehicle with their pants down around their ass, you're not getting in. I don't care who you are. Yes, I've made a decision about that, and I've made a policy about that. No good can come of this. And I could be wrong 99% of the time, but it's that 1% that really concerns me. I've only got to be wrong, right once.
Yeah.
And it could end up really badly for me. And I can understand a convenience store owner's frustration with the situation. Again, I'm not agreeing that it's completely right, but I can certainly see the perspective.
I don't know.
Now, if I was him, I might consider, well, if I've got all these guys coming in and doing this, let's cater to my clientele. Set up a little area where they can do this.
Why? They would make them the most popular place in the Twin Cities.
Exactly. You cater to your customers.
Here's the thing. You have to also realize that. I think the mopping of the floors a few times a day is a good excuse. The owner of this particular store owns a couple more stores up in more rural Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Redneck capital of Minnesota.
No.
So any way he can strike out against Muslims, he's going to do it.
Okay. Well, then
I think the whole thing of having to mop the floor is a excuse at best.
So what that means for you is you don't patronize these stores.
Absolutely not.
Well, there you go. And eventually that will happen with enough people. And he will realize the folly of his way. Well, it starts with one person. No movement ever starts with a million people. It starts with one person. You, sir, are that one person.
Well,
you will lead the charge. They will write songs about you.
Quietly.
They will tell tales about you.
Well, I just have to hit the right nerve. But
someone will come up and wash your feet. And thanks.
I prefer him to kiss my ass. Another thing I looked at here.
John Shannon for Senate 2020.
Oh, so did you hear, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, there was a story that popped up again relating to the shooting of the baseball practice there for the charity game between the GOP and the Democrats.
What story?
Well, so, of course, everybody knows who Caitlyn Jenner is.
We have a caller.
We have a caller?
Yeah, hang on. Let's...
let's talk to the caller.
Caller, you on the air? Hello? Lower your radio or your listening device.
Yes, you do.
How you doing? Or are you there?
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
I can hear you now.
Who's this?
All right, yeah, KIN351, KDS336, can I help you?
Hey, Kevin, how are you, my friend?
Yes, it's the number one guy, best driver in the fleet ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, This is a man that was a legend in his own mind back in the day. He abandoned us low.
Where did I drive?
You drove 392.
Yeah, I left. I went from heaven to hell. I went from paradise back to hell, New Jersey.
How are you? How are you, young man?
Pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever told you. Did I ever tell you that I got shot at down there in Fort Lauderdale?
No, you did not. No, you did not.
Do you know who shot over my head?
Mike Crum.
You're never going to believe it in a million years.
Go ahead.
Your old boss's wife.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I know that story. I know that story. You told
me
that
story. Remember that? He blocked the driveway.
We're not on a phone line here. There's other people listening, so they don't understand what we're talking
about. Oh, okay.
You know, but...
You can go ahead and explain it.
No, you can go ahead and explain that one.
We're running
tight on time, but our caller here was a driver with me back here in Fort Lauderdale back in the day when you could actually make some money. And we had a little bit more fun, and we all kind of palled around together. It was a lot more of a social situation because we were kind of forced to get to know each other, and it was better as far as I'm concerned. Wouldn't you agree, Kev?
Yeah. The Plaza Stand was historic. That was the place.
That's absolutely.
The Plaza.
I was talking about that Monday night on the Monday night show. How, you know, yeah, you would get 10, 15 cars sitting there, and, you know, whatever was going on that night. You know, you talk about a taxi stand and, you know, the conversations you would have. And, again, you just got to know people. You just got to know. But now you're the big cheese in the tire industry, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been in that since I was 12, pretty much. I miss that. But, you know, it's funny. I've been up and down and all around, and those 4 years or 4.5 years of driving a taxi was the most fun I ever had in my freaking life.
There you go.
And I raced cars. I did everything. Isn't that amazing?
There you go.
By the way,
the other gentleman on the line with us is John, my co-host.
Hi there.
How you doing, John? How you doing?
I'm
the guy that worked all the time. I worked 10, 12 hours a day. I was everywhere. I did it all, saw it all. I worked 7 days a week and, you know, just hustled, had a good time. Love the beach area, GOM, the Plaza, those areas, you know what I mean, the Gulf, the Square.
They're all gone.
We used to have so much work. We had, you know, from a Friday nights, with you had Eddie on the, Freddie on the dispatch.
Yes, he's gone now.
We had Freddie dispatch, and we had Friday nights and Saturday night. He was calling anybody anywhere. I mean, it was like he was giving us runs. I was heading to Miami, and he's asking, "Where am I? Where are you at?" Freddie, I'm in Miami. He says, "Give me a call as soon as you get back up here." I said, "Okay, jeez." That was fun. We had a lot of fun back then.
Yeah, those.
But anyway,
those were the days. But
you're on the air, so a lot of it we can't even say. You know what I mean? But we had a lot of fun.
There's still lawsuits pending.
Anyway,
we have FCC amazing. Has right. more control over what.
Well,
we're
go
doing.
Ahead. Take care of your other guests there. I'll give you a shout again.
All right, Kev. I appreciate you calling. I'm glad you're listening, and tell everybody you know about the show. We'll be in touch.
All right, well.
Take care, my friend.
Take it easy. See you. Bye.
He's a good guy, that guy. I did not expect to hear from you, from Kevin. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm glad he's listening. So.
Oh, there's a piece of work that we literally don't have time for me to get into that.
Well, I guess I'll put Caitlyn Jenner on the shelf because, long story short, she probably just isn't worth it. She came out saying that liberals can't shoot straight. Well, liberals were the ones that had your fucking back when you decided to do your transformation, and God bless you for doing that. Came out and were the person you wanted to be, and or figured you were, I should say. But you start lashing out against these people that really supported you in and embracing these nut jobs on the right. They're the same group of people that thought you were a complete freak when you were Bruce Jenner and decided to go through the transformation. So, remember, no live show next week, both Saturday and Monday. Ed's going to be doing the Monday night show this week, but we're actually going to take some time off.
And
can you believe it?
We'll be back live July 8th for this show.
But don't worry. There is plenty of taxi stand hour to live the... on the archive that you can listen to. Take it away, Ed.
All right, everybody, you have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday night, 8 o'clock. My guest will be Mike King. John, we'll see you in 2 weeks. So long, everybody.
Yes, sir.
See ya!